From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today last joined us about 6 years ago. We were across campus in the tiny studio of Dr. Alexander Tutinoff, taking advantage of his beautiful piano. This time we're doing it from a distance, but equally thrilled to welcome back Paula Cole. Hello.
Hello. Lovely to be here. Thanks for your support.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for doing this. There is a new record out. It's called American Quilt. Information can be found at Paula's website, paulacole.com. This is a collection of classic songs, with one exception being the original that you contributed. Mm. But these are songs that come from the worlds of blues, of jazz, of gospel, folk music, songs without category. They are all songs that we know, generally. Why? Why is that? Why are these songs that are so ingrained in our collective consciousness?
Some of them have been around hundreds of years, some of these songs, and they've just been passed down as oral history, as culture. And some are more recent, some of the jazz tunes. I don't know why I'm looking back like I am. Is it age? Like, I wonder, because I have a greater sense of my mortality and my parents are older. Is there some more reflection because of that? I think also, like, I feel part of the river that is music. I inherit it from the masters and those before me. I ingest it. I do a little bit, you know, my little bit with it. And then it passes from me. It's not mine. It passes from me down the river to younger generations. And I just feel like some of these masters that I'm honoring on this album, it's important that people remember them, like Emmy Lou Harris and John Coltrane and Louis Armstrong, and so on and so forth. Hmm.
Did you know all of these songs well enough to hop in the studio and record them, or did you have to go back and revisit and dig a little deeper and really learn them 100% before you felt confident?
I like that question. I mean, I always have to brush up before I go in and record. You know, sometimes things are there subconsciously as part of your collective unconsciousness with everybody else. Like, we all know What a Wonderful World. We all know that song, but to play it on piano and have all the chord changes, and I created a little motif in the intro, outro, as I did for Wayfaring Stranger. Like, you try to put some of your own spin on it, and yes, I needed to brush up, for sure. I mean, I think probably one of the songs I knew best were the standards, like You Don't Know What Love Is and Good Morning Heartache, which I had probably sung on jazz gigs, like in my 20s, you know, or even my teens, because I was singing in jazz clubs going through college. So the ones I really needed to brush up on were like Black Mountain Blues. That was pretty improvisational. We kind of decided right before we went into the studio to cut that one, and I changed the form. And we talked the form down and hit it. And I needed the lyrics in front of me. I still need the lyrics in front of me.
Well, it sounds like from some of the recent interviews that you've done about this record that you spent a lot of time working, like tweaking the album before it came out. I want to talk specifically in a minute about something that doesn't usually come up in our sessions, which is the idea of sequencing, like the order of the songs as they appear on the records. But before we get there, I'd love to hear a tune, and I know you recently had time and opportunity to get a band together to record a few tunes for our session. What do you want to start with, and what can you tell me about the song?
So I would love to start with Wayfaring Stranger. Just adore this song. It's, again, it's this like a couple hundred year old song, maybe even longer, because we don't know if, did it come from Scotland? Did it come from Germany? Is it from a hymn? We're not sure, but we, as early Americans, recycled this melody. We sang it to keep ourselves company when we were lonely, and to connect and to also relieve the hardship we felt in our early days of working in this country. And even fantasizing about death as a release over Jordan, where you will meet again with your family and your loved ones who've gone on. And this melody has lived with us for hundreds of years. I love it. I love Emmylou Harris's version of it. I love Emmylou Harris. I She's a friend and a mentor to me. So it's this wonderful song that honors our history and a master I love, Emmylou Harris. And I just did my best to put my own spin on it.
Fantastic. This is Wayfaring Stranger. It's Paula Cole on JPR Live Sessions. Paula Cole and her band, Wayfaring Stranger, on JPR Live Sessions. That is a tune that comes from her new album. It's called American Quilt. You can find information online at paulacole.com. It's fantastic. Thanks
thank
for sharing.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You mentioned in your 20s and teens singing in jazz clubs. Why? Mm-hmm. And I know that you have a background. You studied jazz when you were at Berkeley. Why do we not know you as Paula Cole Jazz Singer? What happened there?
I know. I was rerouted. I had an aha moment. I had the intention of being a jazz singer. And I was, you know, I was a senior in high school, driving myself to Berklee College of Music to study with one of the professors there, who was specifically like a jazz vocal improv teacher. So I would go home like a little nerd and I would, you know, shed my 2-5 progressions and practice my vocal improv. And I was listening to jazz so heavily. That's when I found beautiful Billie Holiday, just the greatest jazz singer that ever lived. I immersed myself thinking I was going to be a jazz singer. I was going to be a vocal improv singer. And I found it to be hard. I found it to be hard. I yeah. felt some imposter syndrome being white. I felt I felt like the evil puppet head within was always self-criticizing. I couldn't just be more loving and to myself and compassionate and just let myself make mistakes. So it was a very brutal process, like in my inner psychology with it. And also I was tired of singing other people's songs. And especially like almost all of them written by men in the 50s or 40s, you know, all that Rodgers and Hammerstein, Rodgers and Hart kind of stuff, usually coming from musicals and like really antiquated perspectives. And not harmonious, not truthful to my perspective. So I kind of had a breakdown, really, literally. I started going to therapy at my last year of college, and because I was just crying all the time and I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I started therapy and I started journaling massively and I started going to the piano in a different way, which was a therapeutic way, and just allowing my fingers to find places and homes and songs, and these words came out that were not anything but my own truths, and the songs maybe had some tensions and some jazz leanings, but they weren't jazz either. They were like this strange mutt. I guess I've always been this strange mutt because I'm a mixture. And I did get, it felt tremendous, by the way. And that was my aha epiphany. Like, I'm gonna write my own music and I'm gonna say my own truths. And it probably would pay better than, you know, being a jazz singer.
Yeah, that is probably true. So you've got 11 records out now. Is it true this is really the first time that you've ever vocally improvised on one of them?
Yes, I've come out of the closet.
Wow.
It's so silly, isn't it? I mean, because of that harshness to myself. Oh, it's just brutal. Like, that came up for me recently, just like exercising more self-compassion and less perfectionism. I'll never be Ella Fitzgerald. You know, I'll never be Louis Armstrong or Chet Baker, right? Like these geniuses.
But it's really hard, as you mentioned, it's really hard to crack in and contribute a new jazz standard, for example, right? Jazz standards are still music from the 50s and 40s and 30s. It's really hard to come up with a new, quote, standard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes what I would do is I would just learn them from the real book. So I wouldn't listen to anyone first and just kind of come up with my own take on it.
But that's a good idea.
I found out that, you know, and then I would go and listen. But I found out that, like, ballads really were my home. That emotional expression was really my home. And less, I just can't sing fast. I don't like singing fast. I like singing like medium, slow, and slow. That's just me. And if I sing fast, it's probably a different feel. I think like Layla Hathaway, who she went to school with me. We went to school together at Berklee College of Music, and she has perfect pitch, and her father was Donny Hathaway, and she sounds like him. She channels her father. It's just amazing. And I was just so humbled by that, you know, hearing, especially when she would branch out into a standard, that sometimes it made me want to give up, you know, but we're all unique. We're all ourselves. And now that I'm in midlife, I have more self-compassion. I have more understanding about life. Like, and I've lived, and I've been a mother, and I'm just me. And I've been really hard to categorize. It's always been hard to put me in any genre. So I think in the end, that's a good thing. I'm just me, and I'm comfortable with that.
Because of all of that, your age, your career, your experience, do you feel more comfortable now tackling music from a wide range of genres than you did before when you mentioned sort of imposter syndrome and being a white woman not feeling real secure about tackling songs written by black writers?
I guess it doesn't matter to me. I'll just sing a song that I love, and music is the international language. You know, it connects us. And I think that should be its purpose, not to separate us, not for us to create too many divisions. I just go about it, and I sing a lot of music written or passed down by generations of African-American, black writers and singers. Yeah. I do. I just live there. I've sung in a black gospel choir, like one of the only white people. I've sung in jazz. I have friends. My family is biracial. So I feel comfortable with that. And sometimes the world isn't comfortable about that, but I'm just going to go about my business. Thank you very much. And I'm going to, see it as this beautiful melting pot. And our diversity is our strength. Just like that's what I'm trying to say, too, on American Quilt, like the patchwork of us, the diversity of us, whether it's music from the cities or the mountains or the hills or across the waters, from Scotland or Germany, and we mix it together, and it's beautiful in its diversity.
I was really interested if, after this year and a half, give or take, if you feel compelled now to try and make up for lost time, or if the forced downtime has given you a different perspective on the parts of your career that you want and need going forward.
You mean the pandemic? What the pandemic has shown?
Yeah,
all of us have that existential question, don't we? Like, what has the pandemic shown us? What is the truth about it? So for me, thank God my family was safe and we had access to the vaccines and I kept my old folks safe. It was terrifying. We all remember when we were sanitizing our groceries and it was terrifying. But I really appreciated it for many, many reasons. One, I'm a high introvert. I can go there. I can go into that and make something beautiful in the darkness. And that's just me. But I didn't want to do nothing. I felt called upon to provide music to people and not charge them for it. On a weekly basis. So I did, it was called Sunday Evening Songs, and it was all on my socials, and it started in March of 2020, just to stay connected and to give hope, because through those hard times, music was profoundly healing. So I think I do better sometimes in adversity than I do with success. And I found great meaning in my purpose through music in the pandemic, and it did highlight what I do, and that is I can sit down in the piano and I can play and sing a song and it's complete like that. Yeah. I just have to plug in a microphone and an interface and put up the internet, or I could record. Right. I can record at home and start songs. And I also found great connection through the things I really loved, like the things that mean less to us. They started dropping away, didn't they? Mm. Like we connected to the people we loved most. I was talking to my drummer, Jay Bellerose, like every day. I was with my family every day, and that was beautiful.
Paula Cole is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called American Quilt. Information can be found online at paulacole.com. Will you share another tune with us?
Sure, I'd love to. Love to share another song. This is Black Mountain Blues. I learned this from Bessie Smith and Janis Joplin.
Smack your face. sweetest man in town. Oh, I had a man in Black Mountain, sweetest man in town. But then he met a city girl and he threw me down, 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 down.
Black Mountain Blues, a song from the new record called American Quilt of Paula Cole. She and her band recording for us for our session. PaulaCole.com, the website to go for more information. That's awesome. That's just great.
Thanks. It was so fun to just play a 12-bar blues, you know?
Yeah. So you walked away from music for some time and have talked about feeling like you were stuck in an area or a genre that you didn't really want to be in. Where in the world are you now? Like, you seem, you know, pretty independent, able to take on the kinds of projects that you want to. Is that a better place for you to be in many ways?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's better for me. You know, Emmy Lou Harris said it to me. It just happened too fast. It just happened too fast. I struggled with, like, being so pop and kind of losing my anonymity and getting famous really quickly in that in that micro moment I had. And I realized, like, it felt ill-fitting to me because I always saw myself as this long-term legacy artist leaving a lot of good art behind. And I just needed to take time to kind of let that ill-fitting snakeskin shed itself off of me and move into another era of my life. I wanted to have my personal relationships and my family. I wanted to raise my daughter well. It's life. It's my life. I decided to take that personal time, and I will never regret that. It's been so beautiful and the right choice for me. Meanwhile, you know, I've gone about my career again. It was definitely hard when I was raising my daughter and my stepkids. But now that they're grown, like, I'm starting to feel the space and spread my wings, and it's so lovely that, you know, y'all are remembering me again. Thank you so much. And you know, like I said before, I've always been difficult to categorize, even when I had pop hits, because there were people in Americana, and then there were people in jazz that liked me, and there were people in pop and soul, and I'm a mixture of all these things, and in the end I'm just Paula Cole.
That all said, looking back at that, what did you call it, like a micro era or something, when you had sort of pop fame for a little while, knowing that there were pain points attached to that time, why organize a tour that looks back and celebrates the old material?
Oh, yeah, because I wouldn't do that. But the fans love it, and the fans want to hear that album. So I'll do that for them. I mean, I love them, and they've supported me. They stayed with me, you know, even when I was incommunicado for 8 years, you know? So I'm really grateful, and I know that that album is a place of shared memories and shared meaning together. So I will perform some songs from this fire on, you know, specific tour dates. I'm going to be sharing the road with Madeline Peyrou. Yeah, in some beautiful theaters starting in September. We start in Pennsylvania together, and we'll go in the Southeast, and we'll go in the Pacific Northwest.
Ooh, really?
Yes. Well, now, I know... not Oregon,
okay.
but we will be at Ben Arroyo Hall in Seattle
on
October 8th, and I am trying to get an Oregon play for myself, for my own show, so I'll be in touch with you about that, should that come through.
Awesome.
Yeah, and on those tour dates, I will be honoring this fire, and I will be playing those songs.
Cool.
So, and I'll enjoy them. I will. Yeah. I have to go back to my 20-something-year-old self, and... kind of channel her a little bit, because I'm so much gentler now. You know, I had a lot on my a lot to shout about then.
Yeah, I remember once talking to Chris Smither. What was the song, Love You Like a Man or something like that? And I asked him about his relationship with that song and whether he, you know, it's a love-hate relationship. And he says, no, man, I love it. It put my kid through college. I love that song. I will always love that song. It bought me a house, right?
Oh, totally. Yes. Yeah. It's amazing how one song from our catalog can get all the tension. You know, one child.
Right. And yet you've got so many more that you love and care for. Right.
Absolutely. Was it my best song? You know, I don't know, but it's loved, and I'm so grateful for that. I Don't Want to Wait pays for my life, and it pays for my life, and it allows me to keep making art. It allows me to keep making music.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So you have talked at length about sequencing. I mentioned this earlier in our conversation today. The amount of time that you spent kind of thinking and rethinking the order that you wanted the songs to appear on this record, and they're different in physical form than they are in the version that you released digitally. And of course, the world nowadays is drastically different in the way people consume music, and it's a lot of onesie twosie these days. So why stress over that so very much?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. And of course, you know, you being in radio and programming radio, that matters to you so much. You know, heads and tails. How does something feel, right?
Yeah.
And that matters so much to me. I guess, like, I'm a little bit perfectionist about it. Like, I care so much about the sequencing that sometimes for months I will put on, you know, the sequence of my album, and even in their rough mix phase, and put them on shuffle and go about my business doing chores around the house, and I'll listen to how certain songs, and if I hear a great head and tail, I'll go write it down, and then I start kind of putting together the album like that.
Yeah.
The journey of an album matters a lot to me. I think about the listener, he or she sitting in that seat and going on the ride with me. And vinyl and CD and a digital stream, that's an entirely different reality. So vinyl to me is so experiential. You have the physical sine waves hitting your body. You stand up and you turn that beautiful vinyl album over in your hands. You look at the art, you read the liner notes. The CD is, you know, track 1 to 10, what have you. And the digital is definitely younger audience and my media audience. Probably a lot of the initial, like, critics will be listening to the digital sequence. So I felt these are three different realities, and I wanted three different sequences to match. So it matters a lot to me. And so I put a lot of time and care into three distinct sequences for three distinct listening experiences.
Wow, interesting. Well, I know that there is also an upcoming book project that you have been somewhat hesitant to talk about. So let's make a deal. We'll try to work out something where when you're in the Pacific Northwest, maybe we can figure out how to actually get you to drop by and visit us. And then we'll talk more about the book project that is coming soon. How's that sound?
I would love that. Thank you.
Paula Cole is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called American Quilt. It's a beautiful collection of tunes. You can find more at paulacole.com. Will you share one last tune with us?
I'd love to share. Yes, this song is God's Gonna Cut You Down. And I learned it from Odetta and Johnny Cash. And joining me on guitar is Kevin Berry, acoustic guitar, and electric guitar is Chris Bruce. On upright bass is Ross Gallagher. And singing with me so exquisitely is Darcell Wilson. So I hope you like it. This is God's Gonna Cut You Down.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Let me tell you the news. My head's been round with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the one from Galilee. He voiced to me in the voice so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of the angels' feet. He said to me in the voice so still. He said to me, go do.
Paula Cole sharing music with us today on JPR Live Sessions, a live recording of God's Gonna Cut You Down. You can find the recorded version on her new record called American Quilt. Information is online at paulacole.com.